Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Let there be light. And there was light. And the whole of creation came into being. That was the beginning. A long time later, that same voice spoke and called a man named Abram. Abram, leave your country and go where I lead you. And he believed what that voice said. He left and in obedience became the father of many nations. In Scripture, the father of faith. That same voice spoke to Moses from a burning bush. Moses, Moses. And that voice sent him back to Egypt, where he became the deliverer of God's people, leading them out of bondage into freedom. A young lad is lying in his bed, and he hears that same voice saying, Samuel, Samuel. He thought it must have been Eli, his mentor, who was calling him. But then he later understood it was that same voice that had brought creation into being, that had spoken to Abraham, to Moses. Samuel heard that voice telling him to anoint David to be king. David, a young shepherd boy at the time. None of his older, seemingly more capable brothers, but God called David to be king. Isaiah has a wonderful vision of the glory of God while he's worshiping in the temple. And he hears that same voice say to him, who will go for us? Who will we send? And he realizes that voice is calling him. So he says, here am I. Send me. A young man, probably about 17 or so, called Jeremiah, heard that same voice saying to him, before you were formed in the womb, I called you. Before you were born, you were called to be a prophet to the nations. Mary, a young girl of about 16, a virgin, heard that same voice, this time through an angel. That same voice said to her, don't be afraid. You are highly favored. God is with you. And you shall have a child who shall be named Jesus, Savior, God's Son. Peter, Andrew, James, John heard that same voice saying, "Come, follow me." And so commanding was that voice that they left everything to follow him. Mary Magdalene stands outside the empty tomb, wondering who has taken the body of the Savior that she loved, who has just been crucified. She sees a figure, but doesn't recognize him in her grief until he calls her by name, Mary. That same voice. And immediately she recognizes her Lord. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" That same voice speaks from heaven as Saul of Tarsus falls to the ground when the light of God shines upon him. Nobody would have chosen Saul of Tarsus to become the great apostle to the Gentiles except that voice. But he never calls anyone unless it's his purpose. Colin, that same voice called me when I was a young boy. Just speak aloud your Christian name now. Just speak it out. That same voice called you by name. The same voice. There's that precious passage in Isaiah where God says, "Fear not, I have called you by name. I have redeemed you. You are mine. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You're mine." And that's the truth for everyone who hears the call of God and responds. Jesus said, "Many are called, but few are chosen." The ones who are chosen are those who hear that personal call from God to be his child, to follow him. Jesus, when he was teaching the people, referred to himself as the shepherd. And he said, "I know my sheep and call them each by name. And because they know my voice, they follow me." If you came to the Bible College, you would learn all about that passage in John chapter 10. How the practice was for shepherds to lead their sheep about 15 kilometers, 10 miles or so every day to find sufficient pasture. It wasn't like turning sheep out into a rich field, green field, like in our Western Europe. But at night, several flocks would be corralled together in a pen, and there would be somebody hired to watch over them. So you would have several different flocks all together. In the morning, each of the shepherds would come and they would call their flock. And only those who belonged to their flock would respond to that call. All the other sheep would remain in the pen. Why? Because they recognized their shepherd's voice. And they knew that if they followed him, he would lead them to sufficient pasture. But all the other sheep that didn't know his voice, they would wait for their own shepherd to come. Scripture means a lot more when you understand the context. So here is Jesus saying, I know each of my sheep by name. I call them and they follow me. Beloved, it is beyond any of our comprehension why God should have chosen any of us and called us by name. Paul addresses this when he's writing to the Romans, asking the question, you know, how can any of us know why God has chosen some to be his children? And his conclusion is this: it's none of your business. God is God, and he can choose whoever he wills. To look at you, I can't imagine why God chose you. But every time each of us looks in the mirror, we probably think that. Why should God have chosen me? It seems incomprehensible, really. But why has he called us? Why has he chosen us? Why has this same voice that spoke to all those saints of old spoken to you? However you heard him, may have been directly, may have been through someone else, may have been through an angel. But somehow you heard that voice saying, come, follow me. Be my disciple. Be my child. He actually called you to give to you. He gave you a new life. But we can break that down to four essential things or qualities that God has given you. The gospel is the gospel of the kingdom of God, the sovereign rule and reign of God. And when Jesus began his teaching ministry, the first thing he said was, the time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. And so he taught the disciples that all who responded to that gospel received the gift of God's kingdom. He taught the disciples, "Fear not, little flock. Your Father has chosen to give you the kingdom." Chosen, chosen to give you. Why? Because you are called and you are chosen. And God gives that same gift to everyone who is called and chosen. All those who respond to his call are the chosen. Each of them receives this precious gift of the kingdom. And Jesus taught the disciples, the kingdom of God is not over here or over there, but the kingdom of God is within you. So they were chosen to possess the kingdom and for the kingdom to possess them, for them to be part of that kingdom, part of the sovereign rule and reign of Jesus Christ. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So to enable them to live the life of the kingdom, that same voice promised to impart the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who believe. So God has imparted to you, as one whom he has chosen, the gift of his kingdom and the gift of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is no longer with you, which is the only way was possible when Jesus was on earth. But now that Spirit is within you, as happened to the disciples on the day of Pentecost, as you've been reading recently in your readings from Acts. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. And Jesus promised the disciples, you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. You've read it in the last few days. You see a man, just not a leader, but just one of the body, called to be a servant, to wait on tables, a man called Stephen. And how does it describe him? A man full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, full of grace, full of power. And even as a servant, he becomes known for the many signs and wonders, works of God power, of God's power, that operate through his life. He had the kingdom within him. He had the Spirit within him. The third way that God has empowered all those who he has chosen is with the blood of Jesus. That blood that was shed upon the cross is the power of victory over all sin. It's the power of victory over all sickness. It's the power of victory over all of Satan's works. And Jesus said to the disciples, I give you authority over all the powers of the evil one. That blood washed you, made you clean, because the kingdom of God could not come into the life of an unclean person. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, could not come and live in an unclean vessel. So you had to be made pure and holy in God's sight through that precious blood before you could receive the kingdom, before you could receive the Spirit. So your body is now a temple of the Holy Spirit because it was washed and purified by the blood of Jesus. So you have the power of the kingdom. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have the power of the blood of Jesus available to you every day, so that even if you do sin, there will be no condemnation, because God will forgive you and wash you clean and make you pure in His sight. The fourth great power that God has given to you, as He gives to everyone who is called and chosen, is the power and authority of His name. That name, as we've already heard this morning, that is higher than any other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's given us the authority to forgive in His name, to pray in His name, to speak in His name, to act in His name. That is with His authority. So Paul writes, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You are one powerful dude. I mean, you have the full power of God's kingdom. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have the power of His blood. You have the power of the name of Jesus and all the authority that goes with that name. So where's the evidence of the power in your life? You need to use this. Jesus said, there was a man digging in a field, and he discovered treasure. And he likened that treasure to the kingdom. He didn't say he was the kingdom. He said he didn't say he was the treasure. He said the treasure was the kingdom of God. And in this parable, the man quickly buries the treasure again, and then goes and buys the field so that he can possess that treasure. I think the problem is this, that there are many believers who have discovered the treasure. But like the man in the parable, they bury it. And yes, they get the salvation that only Jesus can give. But the treasure that God has given remains buried. See, the parable doesn't go on to say whether the man that bought the field went and dug up the treasure. But, beloved, you need to get your spiritual spade out and dig up that treasure. Because God didn't give that life and power to remain buried. He didn't give you the gift of the Holy Spirit that he would be stifled in your life, suppressed. God's purpose was that that Spirit would flow out like rivers of living water. Jesus didn't wash you in the blood, make you pure and holy in his sight. So that you could then either take his blood for granted or ignore his blood. Because in that blood, there is the power to break the power of sin in your life. There is the power to heal you of your diseases. There is the power to overcome the enemy because that blood defeated him on the cross, made a spectacle, a public spectacle of him, the word says. It was a public defeat for Satan. And God has given you that name that is above every name, that you can use that name, not just saying in the name of Jesus at the end of your prayer, but exercising the authority and power of that name over everything that comes against you. In that name, you can speak to mountains and command them to move. In that name, you can come against everything that comes against you and overcome. You see, what God has called everyone whom he has chosen, what he has called them to be, is overcomers. And he's given us all these power that we need. The power of his kingdom, the power of his Spirit, the power of the blood, the power of his name. To enable us to be the overcomers that he's called us to be. But the kingdom is not to be buried somewhere in our lives. But we are to exercise the rule and the reign of Jesus. That doesn't mean that he simply reigns over us, but he reigns in us and he reigns through us. So the overcoming power of God is pouring out of our lives. Not just making a difference to us, but making a difference to others around us, to the situations in which we find ourselves. That the power of the Holy Spirit is pouring out of us as rivers of living water in just the way that Jesus spoke of. That we are exercising the authority of that name when we pray, when we speak, when we act. Knowing that whatever we do in obedience to the leading of that voice that called us will enable us to overcome, will enable us to fulfill the plan and purpose of God. That same voice that called all those people that we spoke of is the same one who imparted to you the kingdom, the Spirit, the blood, and the authority of his name. It's not a question of saying, "Oh Lord, give us more power." He said, "I've already given you my kingdom, my Holy Spirit, my blood, and my name. What more do you want? What more could there ever be?" Oh, we need to see more of that power that he has imparted being expressed in our lives personally. What releases that power is faith in God's word, which is another way of saying faith in that voice that has given us that word. Because all we know and understand of the kingdom and of the Holy Spirit and of the blood and of the power and authority of his name is contained in the word of God. So without faith, it's impossible to please God, because without faith, we cannot see the life and power that God has imparted to us being expressed in our lives. So God calls us to be that people of faith, faith working through love. Faith that lives in the supernatural power of God. Faith that expects to see the supernatural power of God released whenever we pray, whenever we speak, whenever we act in his name. Now, my Bible says the same as your Bible, that that good shepherd who has called us by name, who knows each one of us by name, that same voice that called all those other saints of old, that same voice has imparted to us all those qualities of his power, and he is the one whose voice we know and who leads us. You know his voice because this is the book of his voice. And the reason why we encourage you to read it every day is so that you hear the voice of God every day. I hear some Christians say, I can't hear the voice of God. And I say to them, open your Bible and immediately you will hear the voice of God. And the Holy Spirit can take any one of these scriptures and make them personal to us at any given moment. He takes that word and declares it to us. This is what Jesus said. And Jesus said of the Holy Spirit that he never speaks on his own initiative. He only speaks what he hears from the Father and the Son. In other words, the Holy Spirit doesn't have any other voice other than the voice of the Father, than the voice of the Son. It's the same voice. Oh, some people can be misled. They think they hear something and they say it's the Spirit of God. But when you examine what it is they've heard, you know that was not the voice. That was some other voice that they wanted to hear, or some other voice that was deceiving them. But if we stay close to the Word, then we will be able to test everything that we hear and we will know what is truly the voice of God. Because the Holy Spirit will never speak anything to us that is inconsistent with what the voice has already said. Because the voice never changes his mind. He never changes his heart. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His words are the words of eternal life. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will not pass away. So to be men and women of faith, we're men and women of the Word. We're men and women who live daily in the power of the kingdom, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of the blood of Jesus, and in the power of his name. This is what defines us. This is what causes us to be what we call a Christian. This is what it is to be a child of God. Oh, it's not just the great saints of old whose names we know, but these are the four gifts to every child of God. Male or female, high or low, whoever they may be, of whatever race. The same four empowerments. So, beloved, do you need to take your spiritual spade? You don't go looking into yourself to dig up the kingdom. You just look into the Word of God and see what kingdom power and authority is yours. You need to stir up the gift of the Spirit within you. God has been doing that in many of us during these days of prayer and fasting that have just come to an end. But just because they've come to an end, that doesn't mean that God doesn't want to do much more in us. That tithe of the first 36 days of the year was so that we can know the power of God in the rest of the year. That we can see what God wants to do being outworked in our lives. Now there is a precious verse in Isaiah where God says, that which I have spoken, I will bring about. And that which I have planned, I will do. What did he speak? Your name. He spoke your name. You could not be a child of God if he had not called you by name. And you have the whole revelation of who he is because that voice has called you by name. This is the great discovery of our lives that goes on day by day, week by week, as we discover more and more of the greatness, of the magnitude, of the wonder of what God has already given to us. I always say it takes a whole lifetime to appreciate what God did for you the first moment you were born again and became his child. And it's probably going to take us all of eternity in heaven to understand the greatness of God. Because he is so mighty and he's so wonderful. Now, I have the simple understanding from the Word of God, and you have been reading those opening chapters of the Acts of the Apostles all week, including about Stephen, including Saul of Tarsus being called by name. You've heard it. You've read it. And it can only be that God has imparted all this power into our lives because he wants us to use that power and to see the outworking of that power. And you might think, well, I only manifest a little bit of that power and I want to see more of it manifested in my life. Well, that's great. That's right. That's the good attitude to have. But you see, this doesn't operate simply in us personally and alone, but we are all members of the body of Christ. We belong to one another. The scripture says that each of us may only have a partial expression of that power, of the power of the kingdom, the power of the Spirit, the power of the blood, and the power of his name. But put all those little bits together, and what powerful thing do we have in the body of Christ? Jesus said, if you get two of you agreeing together, it will be done by my Father in heaven. Two of you agreeing about that power. Two of you are exercising that authority. Two of you having the same faith as to what God will do in response to that prayer. So what of a few hundred of us all begin to operate in that power in a fresh way this year? What mighty things could happen here? What an impact that could make upon this town, upon this area, upon this nation even. Because I know what it is to be part of a church where the power of God moved in such a way that a whole nation and beyond, many nations, got blessed. I've seen it. So, beloved, we don't just read it and study it and thank God for the word. We say, Lord, these are words of spirit and life. Thank you that you have imparted to me the life of which this word speaks. Thank you, Lord, you've given me the kingdom that you spoke of when you were here on earth. Thank you that that kingdom is within me. Thank you, Lord, that that spirit that moves so powerfully in the lives of those first believers, that spirit that was manifested perfectly in the life of Jesus, thank you that that same spirit is within me. I'm not waiting for it. I have that spirit. Because you have already blessed and imparted that spirit to me. Thank you, Lord, that everything I read in this book about what you have accomplished on the cross through the shedding of your blood, thank you, Lord, that all that is true for me. That I have all that power within me because you've washed and cleansed me with that blood. And through the shedding of that blood, you've made me your child. You've called and chosen me. And thank you, Father, that as I read this book, everything I see here about your name and the power of your name and the authority of your name and what you accomplished through your name, thank you that all that is true for me because you've given me the power and authority of your name because you called me by my name. And when you called me by my name, you gave me the authority of your name. So, beloved, we're going to have a powerful year. Not a couple of orange cards, but dozens of them. So what are we going to do in response to a message like this? Well, the first thing you need to do is to believe what the Word of God says. That you have all that God says you have. Here I've got my sort of daily confession of faith. I don't say you've got to do what I've got to do, but I've got to, just on a couple of hundred scriptures that I speak over my life on a daily basis. I need that. If I can't speak it over my life, I can't live in it. But if I speak it over my life, it's because I believe it. And it's because I'm placing my life under the Word. I'm placing my life under the truth. I'm placing my life under what God has given me, under the kingdom, under the Spirit, under the blood, under the power and authority of His name. We're going to pray in a moment, and I'm going to read just part of this, one, the section that relates to these four things, the kingdom, the Spirit, the blood, and the name of God. As I do this, this is very difficult for me to explain exactly what happens. But as I do this, I keep inserting my name, Colin. And something happens every time I do that. It's not just using my name. It's like I hear God say, Colin, my kingdom is not a matter of talk, but of power. Colin, I have chosen to give you the kingdom, and the kingdom is within you. And every one of these statements is scriptural, but what I do is I put them down in a way that God is speaking directly to me, because this is his voice. And I'm not just reading truths about him, but I'm listening to that voice speak to me. And speak to me personally, because I'm called by name. So it'll just take a few minutes, 5 minutes or so. And I won't use my name as much as perhaps I would when I was doing this on my own, but I will use it every now and again. But every time I mention my name, I want you to mention your name. Just speak that name out like you did earlier. Caroline, Elizabeth, Robin, Stephen, whoever you are, Karen, speak it out. Because these are truths for everyone who is called by name. And you know, there's one of these scriptures which we'll come across where God even says that we are called by the power of his great name. Now, that doesn't mean, when you look at the context, it doesn't mean that he's called us by his great name, but he has given us the power of his great name. That his name becomes our name, because we're living in him and he's living in us. It's wonderful, it's mighty. These great truths of God. But what I suggest you do is you get into the scriptures this week. You can use the 150 themes, if you like, and look these things up. You can use your concordance. You can get on the internet and use word searches. Do whatever, but write down your own confession of faith, where you are speaking these things over your life. And I suggest that you spend just a few minutes speaking these truths over your life every day, so that you are placing your life under the truth of God's word, under these four things, under the power of the kingdom, under the power of the Spirit, under the power of the blood of Jesus, and under the power of his name, so that more and more of that power is going to be liberated in your life. And we're going to see more and more of that power every time we come together, every time we bring those, what may be at this moment, small expressions of that power, but as we bring them together, so there's going to be something mighty beginning to take place amongst us here. Can anybody believe this? Let's all stand to our feet then. And I want you to close your eyes, because this is prayer. This is not just some exercise of faith. I do this in prayer. Hallelujah. I might say, you know, this is done within the context of something bigger, so, but I'll just do this part for you. There's not time to explain further. So just close your eyes and focus on the Lord. And you're listening to his voice. This is it. And he's saying to you personally, as he says to me personally, we're first going to deal with the kingdom, then we move on to the Spirit, then the blood, and then the name. Colin, my authority is everlasting, and my dominion will never end. Nothing could ever destroy my kingdom. Colin, my kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and every other authority will serve and obey me. Colin, I have called you and set you apart to belong to my kingdom of light, the kingdom that belongs to the Son I love. It has pleased me as your Father to give you my kingdom. As a saint of the Most High, you now possess my kingdom. Colin, my kingdom is within you. My kingdom is not a matter of talk, but of power. Colin, the revelation of the secret things of the kingdom has been given to you. I have given you authority over all the power of the evil one. Colin, I have filled you with my spirit so that you desire to honor me and obey all I ask of you. I have poured out my spirit upon you freely and abundantly. My spirit who is upon you and my words that I have placed in your mouth shall never desert you. My spirit gives you life and power. My words are spirit and life. Your natural life counts for nothing. Colin, the mind controlled by my spirit is life and peace. My spirit who raised Jesus from the dead gives life to your mortal body. The Spirit himself testifies that you are my child and a co-heir with Christ. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. You are controlled by the Spirit of God who lives in you. And Colin, I have poured my love into your heart by the Holy Spirit. My spirit teaches you all you need to know and reminds you of everything I have already taught you. Colin, the spirit of truth bears witness to all I have said and done. My spirit does not speak on his own initiative, but only what he hears from the Father and the Son. Colin, everything the Father has, the Son also has, and everything the Son has, the Holy Spirit makes known to you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he has anointed you to preach good news to the poor. He sends you to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to announce the year of the Lord's favor. So, Colin, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. It will not be by might or power that you will prevail, but by my Spirit. And the Spirit of your Heavenly Father will speak through you. Colin, I bore the punishment that brought you peace. And by my wounds you are healed. My death has brought about your reconciliation, so you can be confident that I have given that the life I have given you will continue the work of salvation in your life. You have been crucified with Christ, Colin, and you no longer live, but Christ lives in you. The life you live in the body, you live by faith in the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. Boast in nothing except the cross of your Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to you and you to the world. You have redemption through my blood, the forgiveness of your sins, in accordance with the riches of my grace that I lavished upon you with all wisdom and understanding. I came to destroy the devil's work on the cross. I have disarmed the demonic powers and authorities that oppose you. I have entered into the eternal Holy of Holies only once with the offering of my own blood, and by that blood I have made it possible for you to be one with me eternally. I offered myself as a perfect sacrifice to God, making it possible for you to have an inner cleansing from all the sinful acts that lead to spiritual death. You can now have a conscience clear of all guilt, and you are able to serve God in true holiness. You have been redeemed with my precious blood. I was the sacrificial lamb without any blemish or defect. I took all your sins upon myself so that you might die to a life of sin and live in ways that are right and pleasing to me. For by my wounds you are healed and set free completely. Hallelujah. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. Because of the honor of my great name, I will not forsake my people. I have chosen you to be one of my own. My glorious name is mighty throughout the earth and will be blessed for all eternity. Those who know my name put their trust in me, and I have never failed those who seek me. I guide you in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. Acknowledge the glory of my great and awesome name. Praise my name, for it is good. Give thanks to me and call on my name. Tell all the people what I have accomplished. My name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. I am present with you, and you are called by my great name. My great and awesome name is holy. Praise the name of the Lord your God, who has done such marvelous things for you. Because you honor my awesome name, I will arise with my healing power. You will be liberated and will prosper. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. All who call on my name will be saved. You need to see me stretch out my hand to heal the sick and to perform more signs and wonders through my name. Whenever you speak in my name, you need me to supply what you say so that you will be able to reveal the truth of the gospel. Because of my obedience, God the Father has now exalted me to the highest place in heaven and given me the name that is far superior to every other name. Every knee will bow at the name of Jesus. And whatever you do in word or deed, Colin, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. With your lips, keep expressing faith in my name for all that I am. And if you are insulted for my name, you are blessed, because my spirit and my glory remain on you. Come on, let's thank the Lord. All these are truths from God's word. All of them truths from God's word. They're truth about you. Father, I just thank you that these are truth for every single child of yours that's in this room at this moment. Everyone who listens to this recording. Everyone whom you have called by name. Everyone who you've chosen to belong to you now and for all eternity. I thank you that every one of these truths are truths for us, Lord. And I pray that as we express faith in your word, in the revelation that you give of your kingdom, of your spirit, of your blood, and of the authority of your name, so we will see much more power, much more fruit in our lives that will give glory, honor, and praise to your holy name. And so we thank you and we praise you in the mighty, wonderful, glorious, eternal name of Jesus. Come on, let's give him a great big shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Just turn to at least four people around you before you sit down and say to them, I have been called and chosen by name, and so have you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.